we did this a couple weeks ago, forgiveness, and it's not the, it's been like the second time, possibly the third time I've done that in our group, in the mentoring group, and it's amazing how God still speaks to, even this morning, I was like, Lord, how Lord even brought to my mind of bitterness I had towards somebody. Just how my reaction towards them, I just think of their name. I don't know, have you ever thought of somebody and you said you have forgiven them, but if you bring up somebody's name and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that person again. Has that happened to anybody else? Right? You're like, oh, that person, man, I wish he would have got ran over by a train. You know? But that's extreme. But honestly, but when we have offense towards somebody and we hate have hatred or bitterness towards them, Jesus said it's like murdering somebody. That's why I said it that way. So if I have offense towards somebody and I'm not getting it right and get it dealt with, you could say I've forgiven that person, but when I think of that person, do I truly have forgiven them? Or did I say I've forgiven them, and then do I stay on the opposite side of the church, or I avoid them? So if we have to avoid them after we say we have forgiven them, we have truly have not forgiven them. Does that make sense? There's an action involved. So I kind of, but today's, we want to talk about forgiveness. So most of us, if not all of us, are here today because we receive God's mercy and forgiveness. You know, the day that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we become his child, that we've been redeemed, and that the offenses and he's forgiven us so much. We sung about that today. He's forgiven us so much. He took our place on the cross. We deserved death, but he gladly went to the cross to redeem us, to reconcile us, to bring us back in relationship with the Father. Because you think about that. That's why we remember what Jesus has and is still doing in our lives. Even as believers, because sometimes we have unconfessed sins and we have bitterness, resentment towards people. Even though we've been maybe believers for a long time or a short time, but we do have offenses that we have in our hearts. It could be through as a child. I mean, right? It could be offenses even from last week, from even a believer. But do we forgive? Do we ask the Lord to help us to forgive? Can we pray a blessing over that person? Can I pray for that person day in and day out? That's the process of forgiving. If I can't bless, I can say, you know, Kurt, I forgive you for doing that move. But if I can't pray a blessing over him, there's still that root of bitterness in my heart. When I could say, start praying for him wholeheartedly, go up to him and shake him, I could think of how many times I have been hurt in the church. Oh my goodness. It's like, man, why do I want to be a pastor? I've been hurt so many times. And so through the process of healing and reconciliation, I'm able to forgive and actually go up to the person and pray for them. Or even give them a hug. Only God could do that in my heart. Only God could do that in our hearts. So I don't know, does that ring true to anybody? Especially people in the church. Because I think, man, why would I want to come to church when so many believers back hurting people, doing things? Is there a church perfect? No. There's no church perfect church. So God is at work in our lives, and I thank God that he is. Romans 3:22 says, Put that up, same please. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. For there is no difference, for we all have sinned. For all have sinned. We all have sinned. Nobody's perfect. When we come to Christ, we know how, even as, I think when you become a believer, a follower of Christ, you realize how imperfect you are. Because God starts working on the garbage in your life. It's part of reconciliation. He reconciled you, but sanctification. Sanctification is the ongoing process of Him dealing with our hearts and the attitudes and our resentments and our bitterness, our how we talk and how we behave. It's the start of the process. We realize, oh my goodness, I do need a Savior. We do need a Savior. As more and more as I follow Christ, I realize how more and more I need Him. Because I realize, man, there's nothing. I only have His righteousness. It's not my righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. He's the one that's perfecting me and maturing me as I yield to Him. So to all who believe, for there is no difference for all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christ is the only one. You know, right now, Christ is in heaven and interceding on your behalf, presenting you before the Father without fault and with great joy. Do you know that? I think that's in Jude. He talks about that. He is presenting you before the Father, blameless and perfect, because Jesus stands before you. He doesn't see. Jesus makes you perfect. It's not by me living a life how this and that. It's Jesus working in you and through you that makes you perfect. So we all have sinned, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are being justified because it's not that what we have done, is because of what Christ has done. Makes me justified. Right? I don't have to do it. Isn't that a load off our shoulders? That I don't have to do this. All I have to do is obey and surrender. I have to obey to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. I have to surrender whatever it is He wants me to surrender. That's all we have to do. And to trust and put our faith in Him. Well, there's a few more things, but you know. But put our faith and our trust in Christ. To know that He's at work in us. That He brings liberty. Brings peace. It brings that we don't have to strive to try and be this person. And you can say, you know what? This is where God is working at in my life today. This is where I'm at. I've been working for forgiveness. Man, I've been forgiving some people for the last couple of weeks that God's been showing to me. So I know. It's fresh, right? To whom God set forth as a preparation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. It's talking about the old covenant. But now He's demonstrating that He's reconciling us through the blood of Christ. There's no other sacrifices now that are needed to take away our sin. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. Paid it in full. So I wrote, I was like, well, what's preparation mean? So it's two parts that in fact involves appeasing the wrath. So Jesus appeased the wrath that is due to us. He fulfilled that. He took the wrath from God and it was placed onto Him. That we don't have to receive wrath from the Father. And it's also being reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So He brought us back. Do you ever remember the story in the Bible that talks about how there was a rich father, he had two sons. And the one son, man, he goes, I'm just going to stay at the farm and hang out with dad. And the other son is like, man, I want to spread my wings, blow all the money. Because he goes to his dad and says, can I get my inheritance? And, so, and he goes out and blows the money, lives a rich lifestyle. He buys a house, has all these friends because he has all this money. And then soon all this money's gone. Then his friends are gone. And he was working for another farmer, slopping, you know, feeding pigs. And he's like, you know what? My father's servants live better than how I am living right now. So he runs back to his father. And his father sees him in the distance. For an Arab man to run, that's not something, not what he would do, because that's not right. But his father seen him at a distance. He ran to him and met his son with open arms. His son received forgiveness. The dad put on his robe on him. Christ puts on this coat of righteousness on us. Even though we don't deserve it, sometimes we come with this sin and he deals and we confess our sins to him and repent of them. And he forgives us. He puts this ring on our fingers. Shows us we are his children. Right? He did that. That's what the Father did. But now he seals us with his Holy Spirit, saying that we are his children. Now we know that we are his children, that we belong to him. So there's forgiveness. Forgiveness holds a primary position in our growing and godly character. If we can't forgive somebody, how can we grow in godly character? Growing in sanctification requires God's help, and we cannot do it on our own. We cannot forgive others without the help of the Lord. We can't help forgive somebody without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because naturally, we want to hold on to resentment and bitterness, that I want to get justice upon that person. I want him to have this done to him. But the Holy Spirit says, like, remember what I did for you? I forgave you of all the other sins that you have committed. So why would we not want to forgive others? Right? Without forgiving, we're holding on to baggage that we shouldn't be holding on to. And that baggage actually is such a heavy baggage to carry. And when we hold on baggage, how can we have freedom? How can we have joy? How can we have the freedom in Christ if I'm holding on to baggage that doesn't belong to me? And Jesus says, forgive. To forgive is an act of obedience to the word of God. Forgiving is hard, especially when someone hurts us physically, emotionally, or trust is broken. Right? It's hard. Forgiveness is hard. Because sometimes we don't want to forgive. No matter how long you've been in Christ. So, is forgiveness hard? Maybe, yes, no, yes. I believe it is. It is hard. Since it hurts, forgiveness hurts. Because we hold on to this pain that we are dealing with, or the mistrust, or whatever it is that went through, and it hurts. So when you have been hurt, everything in you screams for justice. And I want justice. But the Lord says, forgive. However, for some things done to us, like there's some things that are done to us, we're like, I can't believe he did that to me. We cannot simply move on as though that nothing ever happened. There's a process of forgiving. For example, a rape victim can choose to forgive the rapist, But that doesn't mean she or he should act as if the sin never happened. To spend time alone with a rapist is not what Scripture suggests. I know there's been people that have been physically raped. And forgiveness is a choice. It's a process. Forgiveness doesn't mean getting yourself back into abusive relationships. Never go back to your abusive relationship. Forgiveness does not mean restoring a relationship when it's not safe to do so. Forgiveness doesn't mean to pretend the offense never happened. Forgiveness doesn't mean making excuses for the other person's bad behavior. There's things that need to be dealt with. So how many of us have been hurt by someone? How many of us are guilty of saying the wrong thing or behaving wrongly towards someone? Right? We all have offended. We all have hurt somebody. We've all acted unkindly, unloving towards somebody. I think there's a day that I don't sometimes do that. Good thing my wife's not here. Right? I think all of us are guilty of causing offense towards someone and perhaps causing them to stumble. The matter of forgiveness is essential for the body of Christ, to the marriage, to the family, to the friendships that we have, to forgive. I think sometimes we hurt the closest ones to us. Those are the ones that we, I think, will offend the most. So the inability to forgive not only destroys the relationship, it destroys those who don't want to be forgiven. So if we don't forgive, it destroys relationships. But also, if I can't forgive and I don't want to forgive, it also destroys me. Yes. And I think that's where sometimes the church is. We say we forgive somebody, but if I can't go and pray for somebody, if I can't go give them a handshake, I don't think there is forgiveness there yet. Trust is different. I'm not saying you have to trust that person. There's a difference. Trust is earned. Right? Forgiveness is what God says you need to forgive. Trust is built and earned. So there's a difference between trust and forgiveness. To forgive somebody doesn't mean you fully trust them again. No, I'm not saying that. So Scripture makes it clear that if we lack forgiveness, there will develop bitterness, and out of bitterness comes hatred, and hatred comes anger. And then resentment comes. And then at the end of the pursuit of vengeance. Consequently, people are living with bitterness, it grows deeper, causing them to be in deeper bondage. You're in bondage if you can't forgive. I think of resentment, how holding resentment towards the other person makes you bitter towards them. Resentment is huge. Corrine was talking about that resentment. How resentment makes you more bitter towards that person. How the root of resentment is created in our life due to unhealthy or unsaid expectations we have on one another. Sometimes we have unhealthy expectations, and if somebody doesn't meet those expectations, then we kind of get resentful towards them. It's like, how come they don't get it? Do I have to hit them with a 2x4 so they actually get it? But we pray for them. How resentment is created in our life due to someone who hasn't done or said or treat us in a way that we think they should treat us or how we want to be treated. Right? Sometimes they don't know that we have these expectations because they've been unsaid, but sometimes we have said them and they still, the elevator doesn't get to that floor, so they don't recognize about it. And so I know for myself, the elevator got stuck between the top floor that I don't my wife has, these expectations of me. And I don't why? I don't get it. I think sometimes I don't get it because she has these expectations. As husbands, we have expectations of wives. And we think, how come they don't get it? How come they don't see it? And then resentment starts. Then there's a barrier. And then Satan comes in, pokes and prods, causes strife between one another. You know what Satan's goal is? Division between husbands and wife, especially. If we have expectations that we cannot meet, say, Lord, honey, I don't know, I'm working on this. Give me time to work on this. Right? But it's good to have expectations on people. Healthy expectations. So I think of the last few weeks dealing with the resentment towards my wife. I asked the Lord to help me to reveal what I'm missing, what I'm not seeing correctly. So in my journal, I wrote down, I'm frustrated. And why am I frustrated? So I asked the Lord to help me to reveal what I'm missing, what I'm not seeing correctly. So the Holy Spirit impressed on me. I was seeing how I was seeing Corrine. She was encouraging me to grow because of her expectations. But because of how I was filtering it, I was not seen as encouragement. Does that make sense? So, to her persistence, because she's very persistent. She's a very persistent woman, right? It's like, oh my goodness, yeah. 17 years. And no, we have our ups and downs. We have our struggles. But through her persistence, through my persistence, our characters, how we sometimes clash, and we have, some nice conversations, and it just, but I could get so bitter towards her. I could. She could get so bitter towards me. She has full right to, but we forgive one another. It might take me a day or two to calm down. But there's this thing, right? Persistence. So sometimes I want to, because her persistence, I really want to tune her out. I really want to put up a wall. But that's the worst thing to do. I think of her persistence, how she wanted me to do DTS. Persistence to get healthier. So I confused her persistence as nagging. However, seen in the light, it was her way of encouraging me to grow. So through my lens, I was seeing her persistence the wrong way. So lack of communication, how I was perceiving it. I think sometimes we perceive things wrongly without proper communication. I don't know, hopefully that makes sense. Because we, through wrongful communication or not hearing correctly, we perceive something, and then sometimes if we perceive it wrongly, then there's some bitterness and resentment comes in. And you can see that in the marriages today. Honestly, you can see that in marriages. How we react with our husbands and wives. And Satan wants that. I think it was in 1 Timothy, I don't have it. Let's see here. Oh, sec. Oh, sorry, 1 Peter 3, 7. I'm going off. 1 Peter 3, 7 says, husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. So we're supposed to honor our wives. As the weaker vessel. Some mean that they're less than us, but they're strength-wise. They have a lot of talents. As being heirs together. So together we're one as heirs in Christ. Grace of life, that your prayers, so this is what stood out, that your prayers may be not hindered. If I have an offense towards my wife, if I have offense towards her and I'm not dealt with it, it says here that your prayers may be hindered. The husband's prayers may be hindered. Isn't that something? That the Lord is saying that if you have anything between you and your wife, your prayers will be hindered. They'll not be effective. So how do we treat our wives as the male covering over the family? Do we show them honor? Do we show them love? Do we show them how we should be treating them as Christ loved the church, willing to put our lives down for them? Are we doing that as men? It's not to the wife to be the head of the house. God has put the man in the house, not as to hoard it over them, but to be a spiritual covering. So it's a great thing for the men to be the head of the house as a spiritual covering. And sometimes we fall short as men. The women should not be running the house. The man should be running the house. But the wife is working with you together. It's not what you say goes, but working together as a couple. There's a blessing in that. So, when we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our heart, we are consumed with the thoughts, and it will exhaust you emotionally. When we are spiritually exhausted, spiritually spent, is there unforgiveness in our lives? And as we ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, and He reveals to us, is there resentment or is there bitterness in our hearts? Is a negative effect? Scientists even study have shown that negative emotions release deadly toxins. Negatively affecting your physical, emotional, and mental health. It's amazing when you laugh a lot, you're healthier. If you're bitter or resentful, you're pretty ornery to be with. And nobody wants to be with you. But you're unhealthy. Causes cancers. Pride feeds unforgiveness. If we can't forgive, it shows you that you're prideful. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up, cause trouble. By this many become defiled. That is Hebrews 12:15. So, lest any roots of bitterness spring up. So, if roots of bitterness spring up, we deal with those things. Sin gives the devil a foothold in our lives. Sin allows an open door into our lives through which the devil can come through once that door is open. That's why you can poke and prod. Why you can cause mayhem. And that's why there's untold damage in our lives, in our family lives. I was thinking, how unforgiveness can affect our children. When I hold on to unforgiveness, how it can affect my children. And it does affect them. Because how I act and behave around somebody, how I talk about somebody, My kids are listening. So how you act, if you are unforgiving, your kids will pick that up and apply it to their lives. And they will come to have this root, and it will cause them to stumble with unforgiveness. Pride would rise up in them. So if we don't deal with resentment, bitterness towards somebody, I think of, I shared this, two Tuesdays ago, how this one couple who was in the church had resentment towards me, and they left. They said their piece, and they left. And I think now, because they didn't agree with certain things, and I was like, okay. And when I seen them, I was like, Lord, help me to forgive them. And today, their children and them don't go to church. I think of their bitterness towards the church and how the church is operating, they had bitterness and resentment. And now they don't even go to church. And I think of how those children are now affected because of the parents' resentment towards the church. Maybe they had, when you get divorced, right? We get divorced, now you have a spouse, an ex-wife, and how do we talk about our ex-partner around children? That will negatively affect them. So how do we talk about people? I know God's working on my life on that. Our words are powerful. What we say affects things. How we react affects things. Do I hold on to bitterness? Do I hold on to resentment? And at times I have. So you think about how unforgiveness affects our children. So Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, you can read that one. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Okay.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind be kind to one another.
Yeah.
Tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
So forgiving one another as Christ. What? Forgave you. That's hard. Christ freely forgave you. Why can't we forgive others freely? What's Luke 6, 27 to 28 say? Luke 6, 27 to 28. Luke 6, 27 to
28.
Okay.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you.
Isn't that something? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who are spiteful, use you. So forgiveness is a choice. To forgive the offender in the process is an action, not just an event. So a practical way to forgive somebody, ask the Lord to search your heart and show if you are harboring any pride that is keeping you from to forgive. Lord, am I holding on forgiveness? Pray for them. So I know, I shared another time, even in prayer meetings, this one person would pray all the time. I was like, Lord, I'm repenting the whole time. Because just their voice irritated me. And I repent through the whole time. It's like plugging my ears, and I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. And until I asked the Lord to help me to see them through the eyes of Christ. And it was a process. It's like, Lord, I repent. Forgive me for having bitterness, resentment towards this person. And it took several months. And by the end of it, I was able to unplug my ears when they prayed. I was able to go over to them, give them a hug, and say, bless you, I love you. If I would allow that to fester, because the devil wants division in the church. He wants strife in the church. When there's division and strife in the church is not operating in unity. Unity is important for the body of Christ. So can you pray? Can you pray for them? And what do you pray for them? What you would want prayer for you. How would you pray for yourself? So, Lord, I pray for so-and-so. Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, that you would continue to work in their lives. Pray for them daily until the Lord releases you from praying for them. Because the Lord is working in your heart. It's a process. The first one is like, Lord, I do forgive them. But Lord, help me to actually love them. And when you're released to stop praying, then you have truly forgiven the offender. So don't go by your feelings. God will give you in time, that knowing that you are released, how you act around that person. You know, holding on to an offense and hurts is at the root of many people's struggles and bondages. It's the very root of people's struggles and bondages is unforgiveness. When we don't want to forgive, we choose to hold on to our pain. So if we don't want to forgive, we hold on to our pain, which puts us in a prison of pain. Our lives that will grow and fester. Until we choose to deal with that unforgiveness with the help of the Holy Spirit. So Mark 11, 25. Mark 11, 25. Okay. Yeah. So if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. What's Matthew 6, 10 to 15. Matthew 6, 10 to 15. Get.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
What's 14? Yeah.
Ye forgive men in your trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
That's huge. So if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither your Father in heaven will forgive you. That's why forgiveness is huge. I could pray all I want, and I could, but if I, you know, if I sinned and you go to the Father, forgive me for this. And but if I have ought to get somebody else that God's revealing to me, I have resentment or bitterness, and I'm not getting dealt with. How can God freely forgive me if I can't forgive so-and-so? That's why I've been asking the Lord for the last couple of weeks, and Cree and I sitting down and talking about stuff. How I shared, even the night I shared what I wrote in my journal. That brought healing and restoration to our marriage. It's so important. When there's unforgiveness, if I can't pray for this person, if I can't pray for them, it shows that we're harboring bitterness and resentment towards them. He wants us to forgive them. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Hold it, Zane. Go to Colossians 3:13.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Yeah. We forget when somebody comes up to say, forgive me for how I treated you. And if I come and do it again, forgive me again. It's hard because we're like, how many times do I need to forgive that person? Jesus says, until 7 times 7. So we forget about it, but it's keeping our heart to forgive somebody is keeping our heart soft and the walls don't come up and barriers don't come up, right? There's things that still need to be reconciled between us in that relationship. It needs to be healing. Just there has to be need to be forgiveness. Saying, you know what, I do forgive you, but what you're doing is wrong. How you're acting towards me is wrong. I will forgive you, but what you're doing is wrong. Does that make sense? We don't excuse the sin. Those healthy boundaries. But we need to forgive them. And relationships need to be reconciled. And maybe they don't know that they're doing that. So we don't excuse the sin, but we need to forgive. How many times have we sinned and we ask God, Father, forgive me for this sin, and I've done that sin numerous times every day. Do you think the Father goes, well, Kyle, you've been here 10 minutes ago about the same one. I'm not going to forgive you this time. He doesn't keep track of it. When I confess my sin to him, he chooses not to remember that any longer. He takes it away. But for us, we're like, okay, I'll forgive you, but things need to be worked on. And it's only through the Lord we could actually help. He helps us to forgive and reconcile relationships. So Colossians 3:13.
Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must do so.
So you must do also. It's a commandment. Something that we don't just choose to not do. So I'll pick up next week on more forgiveness. Right? Forgiveness is key. Forgiveness. Yeah. It's essential. It's key to relationships. It's key to our health. That we're always reminded that God is forgiving us. So Father, I pray that you would help us to retain what has been said. And I thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And Lord, as you are ministering to us by your Spirit, Lord, that you reveal any roots of unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever it is, even from our childhood, even from yesterday, or even before church today. Lord, that we would forgive and even go to that person who has offended us out of love and Father, to get things right. Help us, Lord, to forgive one another freely as you have forgiven us. so freely. So, Lord, as we go today, I pray for protection over our minds and over our hearts. Lord, that we would not allow Satan to come in and put all these different thoughts in our heads. I pray for protection, your protection over our minds. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your helmet of salvation. Thank you for the full armor of God. And Lord, we just put that on. And Lord, help us to deal quickly with unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness, rage and everything else, Lord. Lord, I pray that door will be closed in our life and our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.